We have no idea when life may end, and nafs and shaitan deceive a person. And the objective of the Sufi Ikram, the biggest objective, is that we know and learn how to quarrel with the nafs and the shaitan, with our desires and the shaitan. These are the things that stop us from getting to the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest thing, the biggest two things are nafs and shaitan. So in this we have to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always wants ease in our deen. Allah ta'ala doesn't want hardship, and these nights are very big and great, and the days that Allah ta'ala has given us, the rewards in the days and the nights. So there's no big ibadah that Allah ta'ala has set aside for us. Very light ibadah Allah ta'ala has set aside, and that is the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. And in this dhikr of Allah, Allah ta'ala has said that these 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hajj, what should we do in these 10 days? Is do the dhikr of Allah. That's it. That's the biggest ibadah. The biggest action. Is a hadith in Abu Dawood that comes to my mind. In this hadith, the meaning of the hadith is like this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken and mentioned the tawaf of Baytullah, to go around the tawaf, to do sa'i, safa, marwa, and to stone the shaitan, the main parts, the main pillars of hajj. MashaAllah, you've done this, some of you, and we call it sa'i, to walk between safa and marwa, and to go hastily in a certain part, and to kiss the Hajr al-Aswad, the black stone, on the edge of the Kaaba, on the corner of the Kaaba. All of these actions, in Abu Dawood, there's a beautiful hadith that has been narrated. And what is narrated is that insan, the individual, that if he looks at the main parts of Hajj, the main actions or rituals, and we, if we look at it on an intellectual basis or logical angle, why am I doing this? Why am I going around the Kaaba? Why are we going in between the Safa and the Marwa? Or whatever action there is there, all of those actions are unique, and you can say on a different level, on a different status. And what is the reality of these actions? Or what are the realities of these actions that we do on Hajj? And if we look at it, then the situation is such that whether it's tawaf or whether it's sa'i between Safa and Marwa, or whether there are other rituals or actions we have to carry out, Allah Ta'ala says the objective of all of these actions that the Hajj is carried out, in the hadith is stated that Allah Ta'ala says, I want my dhikr to be taking place at any one moment in time. What a great hadith. And Allah Ta'ala says there's no other maqsad. There's no other maqsad. Allah Ta'ala says that whichever style and technique is being used, but Allah Ta'ala says whatever actions you're carrying out, doesn't matter, but I want at any one time through your actions and deeds, you're doing my dhikr. The whole of Hajj is my dhikr. Muzdalifa is my dhikr. Arafat you go is my dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says. You do tawaf around the Kaaba is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Isn't it? This is the common basis. You go to Maqam Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You're doing dhikr of Allah. In Sa'i, Safa, Marwa, what are you doing? You're doing dhikr of Allah. You're remembering Allah. Isn't it? So there are two things here we have to see in the whole of the Hajj. And that's it. Two things Hajj is based upon. If you say, if you will do it, then I'll tell you. Will you practice? Say inshallah. Because we're not here to listen. So the first thing is, the dhikr of Allah is contained within Hajj. And the other thing, both things are beloved to Allah. What a great ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has summarized within Hajj. And another ibadah that comes to my mind, and that's the second point I want to discuss with you. As Umar radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, when he was on Hajj, he went close to Hajr al-Aswad, and he put his two hands on Hajr al-Aswad, and he spoke to Hajr al-Aswad, the black stone on the corner of the Kaaba. He said, you are a stone, O Hajr al-Aswad. You can't benefit me, and you cannot give me loss. And I am coming towards you and touching you and kissing you, aren't I, physically? And there is no other practice that is close to me or that is important for me apart from Allah Ta'ala's obedience. So don't, O Hajr al-Aswad, come under the misconception or the misunderstanding that there's some special reason that I'm doing this, that through the stone I will attain Allah, or through kissing the stone I will get some gift or treasure in the world. He said, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, that you have no status in front of me, O Hajrul Aswad, but I am touching you and I am doing what I am doing because of the pleasure and the nearness to Allah. Who is the one who gives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives the son, Allah will give the daughter, Allah will give the health, Allah will give energy, Allah will give power. Who has the control of everything? Our Mawla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to strengthen this yaqeen, the whole life long we strive and we make efforts. Whole life long, and the person who succeeds in his life in pleasing Allah, getting close to Allah, and the person whose yaqeen certainly gets strong, that person, it is said about that person that the time of death, what does a person, what should he do? He should be reciting the kalima on his tongue, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasul. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his sahabi, to his blessed companions, so that person, only that person will be able to recite the kalima on the tip of his tongue at the time of death, who has yaqeen certainty that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this. To read, recite the kalima, it's not just about physically reading it. Your yaqeen, your certainty in the depth of your heart should be so robust that apart from Allah, I don't trust and rely on anybody. Whatever there is from Allah. Whatever there is around us, Allahi Allah, that's it. There's nothing else around us, controlling us, giving to us. We should have that much solid yaqeen certainty. If all the power of the world comes to give us loss and to give us negative results or consequences, we should have yaqeen, my Mawla, my Lord is with me, who will try to spoil me, who can affect me negatively. And secondly, if somebody of the whole world and everyone to be in the world wants to give you something, and you can say to them, or you should think that only Allah can give to me, even if all of you try, you cannot give unless Allah wants to give to me. This is the yaqeen of a Muslim. This is called La ilaha illallah. That's it. We should be solidly on this platform of belief and yaqeen. And when we do dhikr of Allah, the objective of doing dhikr is that to the roots of our nerves and veins, we should have the feeling in our heart and body and mind that apart from Allah, there's nothing that can assist us and control us. And tell me how powerful we'll become. When we have this yaqeen, we become more solid than the rocks and the mountains, and nothing can shake us. Nothing will be able to shake us. No power of the world will be able to shake us. Nothing when we have the firm iman, and you become close to Allah at that time. So when this position comes to our lives at that time, at the time of death, that's when the words La ilaha illallah will emanate from our tongues. All my life long, Allah my Lord, you were in the depths of my heart and I believed in you, and nothing was there apart from you and departed from this world. I say the same, Allah, it's you and nothing else. You are in control. You are the one who gives and takes. And these two things we have to do, struggle and strive upon. We have to strive and struggle, always walking, talking, thinking. We should be focusing on Allah in the depths of the heart, calling Allah, 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 Jalal, Jamal, total power, total strength, Allah, Allah. And that's it, my friends. The person who remembers Allah with total love and conviction and certainty, then the strength of his certainty and iman, and the solidity of his iman, and the rock solid iman will come into his heart. The love of Allah will come into his heart. The muhabbat of Allah will come into his heart. The certainty in Allah will come into his heart. The conviction in Allah will come into his heart. Tell me, when a person has tawakkul of Allah, will he fear? Will he have distress due to losing a job or problems at home or children or wife or money? He'll have no worries. No, because he knows that everything's coming from Allah. Everything Allah Ta'ala will take, Allah will give. So great insan, we human beings, we should reach to this position through reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah. And that's why we read this kalima. That's why we repeat this kalima. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said first and foremost, okay, Hajr al-Aswad, here's a beautiful point. Why did he say this, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, to Hajr al-Aswad, the black stone in the corner of the Kaaba? Was he doing shirk? Was he refusing? Was he refusing to understand Hajr al-Aswad? No, he said this knowingly, but in his subconscious he said this because he had so much depth and he was overwhelmed by the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the belief and love of Allah, that Allah, you are the one, you are everything, and Hajr al-Aswad is nothing in front of me. Because he had such a height of belief and conviction in Allah. And the next word did he say? Ah, this is the statement to listen to. Because as I said to you, there are two things at the base of Hajj upon which Allah Ta'ala has established Hajj. And what was the second point? Great statement. So why are you doing this, Umar? Why am I kissing you, O Hajr al-Aswad? Why am I touching you? And he spoke himself to Hajr al-Aswad. So why am I touching you, O Hajr al-Aswad? Umar, why are you doing this? Then he said, Allah, I'm only kissing Hajr al-Aswad because your beloved Prophet, I saw him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kissing Hajr al-Aswad, and I am fulfilling his sunnah. And I'm imitating him. So one is that he said, Allah, your obedience is so great that Hajrul Aswad is nothing in front of me except for your obedience. And secondly, such a great thawab, I am doing this action because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your beloved, your Nabi, he did this. And Allah says, the person who kisses the Hajrul Aswad on the Day of Judgment, Hajrul Aswad will bear witness and intercede for that person. Intercede for that person. It's a stone. It's a rock. Now the point here is, what's the second point? The second part of the statement of Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu, from this hadith we see obedience and imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole Hajj is based, the foundation of Hajj is on two things: dhikr Allah, remembrance of Allah, and obedience and imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. Why did you do this action here? I did Sa'i Safam Rawi. Why did you do this here? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this here. Why did you ask for dua here in front of the Kaaba? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read here. Why did you do this kalima? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. Why are you going to Arafat? Because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. Why are you going to Muzdalifah now? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did here. Why are you spending the night here? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. Why are you stopping here at the stones and stoning them, the pillars? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. Why are you stopping here and in the tent here in Mina? Because Rasulullah did this. Why are you sacrificing the animal here? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this here. So every point and phase of the journey of Hajj is imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, is it not? That's it. So these two things we have to bring into our life, and these are the two weak points in our life today: dhikr Allah and obedience to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we go on Hajj once at least in our lifetime, Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that your deen, is it correct? Is it aligned? Is it on the straight path? Allah Ta'ala says that all of the practice of Hajj during the 5 days of Hajj and before and after. And nowadays you can see Hajj on your phone. You don't have to go far. You can stream it and look at it. But these two actions are critical, essential to Hajj and the acceptance of Hajj, and that are the basis of Hajj, the pivot points of Hajj. And only can we become Hajji when we do amal on these two actions: dhikr Allah and imitation and obedience to the sunnah of Rasulullah. And on these two points, by answering and placing these two points in front of us, we can answer, are we close to Allah or far from Allah? Allah Ta'ala has given us a reminder. Just look towards Hajj, that how many percent of the people who have gone to Hajj are practicing these two ahkams. One is to do dhikr of Allah at every point, every moment. And secondly, to obey the sunnah of Rasulullah, to practice it. Allah has given us a reminder every day. At least once in your life, Allah says, go on Hajj and consider, analyze, and ponder on which basis are you living your life? On which basis will you die? My brothers, there are two things. Our deen total is do dhikr of Allah, remember Allah in everything you're doing. Baytullah, Sa'i, Safa, Marwa, or the days spent outside of Makkah, all of the parts of the Hajj that we have to fulfill, this is dhikr of Allah. Every action, every day is dhikr of Allah. Every moment is dhikr of Allah, is it not? And our life is not just, we came here to worship and we will succeed. No. Grab hold of the meaning, objective of life. What is the objective of life? How far are we away from the sunnah of Rasulullah? How much am I practicing and obeying the Prophet? How many excuses do I make? How many reasons will I put in front of me to play tricks and games, to leave the sunnah and not practice it? Okay, fine. If you can do, you can make excuses, you can put reasons. Allah says you've got free reign in this world. You've got a free reign. Allah says the message is there and your choice is there. The dhikr is there and your choice is there. The sunnah is there and your choice is there. But with your excuses, you will not be able to save yourself from the punishments. For example, there's a pigeon and shuts its eyes. And will the cat not devour the pigeon? If the pigeon closes its eyes, says, I'm not looking at the cat. But the cat's watching you. It's going to prey on you. It's going to grab you. It's going to kill you. So take this deception and delusion at your life. Bring your whole life onto the pillar of the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every moment, second, breath, practice of yours should be according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And dhikr of Allah, every second we should be busy in the dhikr of Allah. We should be remembering Allah. We should make this sabak, this lesson, solid. And the trust and reliance on Allah should increase and become robust. That we should have no fikr, no worry in anything else. Just have one fikr, and that is the oneness of Allah. And we should be fearing Allah, loving Allah. Everything is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give me the tawfiq and give you the tawfiq. Then these 10 days, what should we do? Dhikr of Allah and imitation and following and obedience to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At least we should be doing this. Otherwise, we will just stay the same and the situation will stay the same. Ramadan comes, Hajj comes, Laylatul Qadr nights will come. What are these nights of Dhul Hajj? What is this night? Didn't I tell you yesterday? Did you forget the lesson? Did you forget what I said? Didn't I tell you yesterday? Laylatul Qadr is this night. All the nights in the first 10 nights of Dhul Hajj.
In the hadith, the thawab, it has been explained to us that the thawab of each night is akin, similar to Laylatul Qadr. The reward of 1,000 months of worship is in these nights. A person who does tawbah on these two points today, that Allah, I do tawbah, I wasted my time, I will now be obedient and observe the sunnah of Rasulullah in my life for the rest of my life, and I will love and establish and practice your dhikr. If a man or woman today does tawbah, repents and comes back to this path, then he will get the reward of 1,000 months of worship. Look at this point, and what a great ibadah it will become. So try, make effort, struggle. All of these nights, Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah has given us dhikr automatically in these nights. Free of charge, easy. We are earning the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Do solid and robust tawbah. You did this yesterday, and we will do tawbah again today. That Allah, the deficiency in us, Allah, take them far from us. Allah, give us two things. Ask from Allah. Raise your hands. Allah, give me dhikr of Allah. I'm weak. And allow me, and give me the ability to follow the sunnah. I want to. The person whose heart feels, the person who feels, put your hands up. Put your hands up. To follow the sunnah, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Ta'ala will open the doors and the paths. Allah will open the doors and the paths. But Allah Ta'ala says, just bring your heart around to me. Don't make your heart a hypocrite. If there's nifaq in your heart, no, how can I do? Allah says, then you have nifaq in the heart. Say with a true heart, Allah, I'm stuck, and my heart feels I want to turn to the deen. I want to imitate your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow his sunnah, every action of it. And I have this desire in my heart. Even this is a big achievement, to have the desire. And when you have the desire and you're stuck in the dunya, and then you come into the fort, the castle of Allah. Is there any power greater than Allah? Allah will take you out of the situation that you're in, where you're stuck. Allah says, I will definitely bring you out of your exams and challenges of the world, and I'll bring you towards my dhikr and the sunnah of Rasulullah. When we do dua, when we ask from Allah, and if after dua we don't get those things, it's the reality is that our heart is doing something else and feeling something else, and our mouth and our hands are saying something else. From the hands we're saying, Allah, make me follow the sunnah, and the heart is saying, not yet, Allah, is too hard, just delay it a little bit, Allah, let it get easier in some time to come. Allah says, then this is hypocrisy. You don't have the sincerity. You don't have the sincerity. Still you have the fear of the dunya in your heart. So these points I'm requesting and presenting for this reason, so we can understand what is the maqsad of our life. What is the objective of our lives? All our lives. A life Allah Ta'ala has given to us is for ati Allah wa ati Rasul. Until we don't have ati Allah and obedience to Allah and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then none of our worship is going to be accepted, is it? Everything we do in our life, any worship you take, I was speaking about Hajj, we're sitting in Dhul Hajj. But Hajj is a great action, and it is summarized and concludes on two points. Allah Ta'ala says, you're doing Hajj, and the meaning of Hajj and the objective of Hajj is dhikr of Allah and the imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no other meaning of Hajj. Look at Salah, look at fasting, look at Zakat. All of these worship actions take us to the same two things, dhikr of Allah and obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we can't do them without following the sunnah. So, but we are opposite today. Maqsad, objective of life, first and foremost is Allah. Give us our objective of life, Allah. Allow us to practice this. May Allah Ta'ala accept our sitting. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.